listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
The other day, I was coming back from dropping my son off at college, and as usual, when I'm doing that, I keep my phone with me, and I accept as many calls as I can during that time, because I can't do anything else. I can't be working with clients at that point, and I can't be doing any of my other projects. And so I try to answer my phone during those times. It's just kind of one of those where I just had it as kind of the bonus time. So if people call me during those times, I do my best to answer. And so there I was coming through the mountains, and it had cleared off. I had gone through a lot of snow, but it was now clear. As I came through the mountains, I got a phone call. And the person said, you know, I've been reading your material. I've been going through your system, and I've been applying where I can, but I'm getting a little stuck because I need just one place to focus, just a couple of places to focus. I've got all this information coming at me, and I just need a couple of places to focus. And so when I had the conversation with him, I've thought about this before, about where do you really kind of place your initial focus? Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying here's the easy answer, but I'm going to say there are a couple of simple places to place your focus, to put your focus, to really get your head around in order to make a difference. So when I put all of the pieces of the puzzle together, let me tell you two places that I think you can do it. Those two places are respect and connect. For me, if I boil it down, those are the easy handles. Those are the places where you can dig in and say, okay, where do I keep my mind focused today? If you've used my Thrive Journal, you know that there are places there for you to really say, how do I change the day? You know, to kind of get clear about just a couple of things that need to happen to turn your day around. And so I want to suggest that these are two you could use to fill in those spaces, respect and connect. So let's talk about what I mean by each of those, because when I said respect, this person said, my husband doesn't deserve respect. What my husband has done, I can't find a place for respect. And so let me be clear that when I'm using that term, I'm not talking about feeling a sense of respect. You know, if I look at a great leader, I go, wow, you know, I respect what that person has done. Or if I look at some famous figure in philosophy or psychology or any other area of my interest, I go, wow, you know, I really respect what they've done. And I look around at people who do things all the time and say, wow, you know, that person, I just have a lot of respect for what they've done. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about respect in action. Because there's that place of respect where you feel respect for somebody. You feel respect. That's one layer. But then there is the showing respect. And that's where I'm focusing here. Sure, maybe somebody has blown the respect right out of the water, that you found it impossible to respect the actions they've taken. But does that mean that they don't deserve respect in action? Part of what I believe, and this is a core belief of mine, that over all of these years I still hold, and that is that we all do the best we can where we are. Now, sometimes people get a little confused that I'm saying that everybody's always doing the best they can, period, that everybody is doing their optimal that they can in life. I don't believe that there is an optimal in life. I believe that there are always places that you can improve. Part of what I strive for is finding my weak links and saying, how can I make sure that that weak link doesn't get in my way? Now, sometimes it's because I need to figure out how to get around that weak link. And sometimes it's how to use my strengths so that my strengths are have a bearing on those weaknesses. But either way, I'm trying to find the places where maybe I haven't considered something. Maybe I haven't thought through something. Maybe I'm not aware of how I'm coming across. And in those moments, I've always got a new place of growing. And even if I focus on all of my strengths, which is a big thing of mine, of saying, how can I get better at those things? There's always something I can do better. When I look legitimately at my writing, there's always a place I can write better. When I look legitimately at my coaching, there's always a place I can coach better. I can always teach better. I can always do things better. So I'm always trying to learn. In that process, that means I'm never at my optimal. But that doesn't mean that in the moment, I'm not doing the best I can given where I am right now, given the way I feel right then. Think about it maybe in a different way. Maybe you've had a day when you just didn't feel good. Maybe you had a bug or a virus or something, and you just weren't at your best. But you went through your day and you gave it your best shot. That didn't mean it was your best shot, period. But given how you were feeling that day, it was your best shot. And so I believe that people do that. People are doing the best they can where they are. If they weren't, they would do better. Even when people are doing things that you disagree with, that doesn't mean that they're not doing the best they can where they are. And so my starting point is to understand that people do the best they can where they are. The other layer of this is I recognize when somebody says, that person doesn't deserve my respect, that they have basically said, I'm better than they are. I'm at a better place. And one of the things that I am painfully aware of is my shortcomings, that I am very clear that there are places that I fall short. They're my humility points. When I recognize that no matter what I do, I'm not better than anyone else. I may be at a different place than they are, but I'm not better than them. And that's an important place for me to put in, because when I see myself that way, I can always show respect for where somebody else is. I can always show respect in my actions. I can always be respectful. That's different than feeling respect. So how does that look in real life? Well, if you're being respectful of somebody, you probably don't raise your voice or throw things or threaten or coerce or try to change or try to force something through. You come at it a little bit differently. If you respect somebody, you probably don't speak poorly of them behind their back. You probably don't speak poorly to them in their face. You don't call them names. You don't ridicule or use sarcasm. You don't make fun of them. You don't give them a hard time. That's showing respect. It's kind of the behavior we use when we're on our best behavior, right? And this is always a choice. And that's one of the big pieces of this little puzzle. When I was talking with this person, she said, how do you expect me to hold my tongue over what he's done? And my response is, well, you just said it yourself. There are times when we all hold our tongues. If a police officer pulls you over, if you're like most people, you're going to be respectful of that officer, maybe just because you don't want to get into trouble, but you're going to be respectful. If you have to go to court, you're probably going to be respectful to the judge because of that position and the need to do that to not make things worse. If your boss calls you in, you probably show respect because not necessarily you like your boss, but because you don't want to make things worse. Or maybe your best customer comes in and you don't like how that person is anywhere else, but you show them respect because they're a customer. And so what I'm saying is that there are lots of reasons that we choose to be respectful. We can choose to always be respectful. Oh, sure, there are times when you slip, at which point you can apologize and step back and say, hey, can we do that again? I didn't mean to raise my voice. I didn't mean to be sarcastic. But there's always a place for us to be accountable for our actions and always a place to say, hey, I can be respectful. I have a choice in how I show respect. So the first thing we can do to dig in is put our focus on showing respect. The second is to connect. I talked about this a few weeks ago about the different dimensions of connection, that there are lots of different ways that we can connect with somebody else. But also noted that we are wired as humans for connection. It's one of our deepest wirings that goes all the way back to being held as a baby, that we connect with other humans. And some of us do that more readily than others, but we all have that need. That's part of what's wired into our DNA as humans, that we are connecting creatures. The deepest place that we want that connection is in a marriage, is in a committed relationship. That's where we've chosen one person to say, I will connect with you the rest of our lives. That's what we're saying in those promises. I'll be with you. I'll respect you. I'll love you. I'll forsake all others for you. Even in the good days, the bad days, the poor days, the wealthy days, you know, the sick days, the healthy days, all of those days, I'll be by your side. That's basically saying we'll always connect. That is a little bit different than always feeling connected. And I want to be clear about that, that again, we're not talking about the feeling of being connected with somebody as much as the action of connecting. In fact, sometimes when we're feeling disconnected, it's really that voice within us saying, I need to connect. I need to reach out. I need to take the action beyond where I am and connect. So once again, just like I was saying, it's not about feeling respect to be acting respectful. It's not necessarily about feeling great connection to work to connect, to reach out in connection. If you're not familiar with those dimensions I talked about, there's a link in the show notes back to that that particular podcast. But those are three areas of connection: are the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. The physical is not just about sex. It's about any contact, any loving contact, even any loving physical contact with the other person, a hug, a holding hands, a back rub, a caress of the head, of the face, a kiss. All of those things are physical connection. So whenever we make positive physical contact with another person, that's physical connection. Emotional connection is when the other person feels like we're on their side and supporting them. When they come home from a hard day at the office, or are at home after a hard day with the kids, or come home after a hard time wherever, to know that somebody's on your side, that's emotional connection, to feel like somebody gets you, understands you, and that we provide that back and forth in a marriage. That's the emotional connection. And then the spiritual connection is when you're sharing your deepest, most important pieces of yourself, your core beliefs, your core aspirations of what you want out of life, of your hopes, your dreams, your deep frustrations with the world, your deep celebrations of the world, your deep feelings of where you need to make a difference in the world. That's your spiritual connection. When we ask of somebody else, what means the most to you right now? We're asking them for spiritual connection. When we share what means the most for us, we share that spiritual connection. Now, this is part of what I outline in my book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps, because I think that's the connection way. We have to find the ways within those three areas to reconnect. The problem is when we start disconnecting, the disconnection grows. The upside is when we start connecting, the connection grows. Whichever way we go, we can either diminish the connection by not connecting, or we can grow the connection by connecting. And so the problem is that we build these habits of disconnection. You may have grown up seeing parents who were disconnected, and they had a habit of it. It's like they never even thought to talk together, to hold hands together, to have these deep, dreamful conversations together. And you may have learned that there. Or you may have just gotten into bad habits in your current relationship. But here's the really nice thing. Connection really is about forming habits. And you can always create new habits. You can always change bad habits. In fact, as we're here in the new year, let me suggest that showing respect and acting in connection is a series of habits you choose, that you can choose how you're going to reach out to your spouse respectfully and how you can reach out to your spouse connectingly, that are about rebuilding new habits. It's just a matter of changing that from the place where you are now to a good habit, from disrespectful habits to respectful habits, from disconnecting habits to connecting habits. There are three parts of doing that. Now you have your focus, the focus of respect and connect. So you need a plan, because the plan is how you're going to change those habits. You need to create a plan, a written down plan, so you know how you're going to move forward. That's the first thing. The second thing is to always have a focus of changing yourself. In the same conversation, this person shared with me that she didn't think it was fair that she had to change, because her spouse was the one who had acted out. And I said, it's not that you have to change, it's you get the opportunity of changing. We all have the opportunity of deciding how we're going to grow and change. It's an opportunity. It's not a cost. You don't have to. It's not a cost. It's an opportunity. So work on how you're going to change yourself through this process. and then make sure you understand how those connections work as you move forward to save your marriage. If you need help with this, let me invite you to grab my system, the Save the Marriage System, by going to savethemarriage.com. If you think that maybe that book on connecting would help, you can find that by going to savethemarriage.com/book. Savethemarriage.com/book. And finally, if you're ready for some coaching, go to savethemarriage.com/coach.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.